Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio tonight, doing our show from downstairs. It was a tech issue in the upstairs studio, so we're down in the Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue this morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and you can also send your text to 312-981-7200. Check us out on Twitter and also facebook.com/NickDShow. So my guest tonight is a writer for the Priceonomics blog and a co-author of a book called Everything is BS, but they actually use the full word, The Greatest Scams on Earth Revealed. And his website is ZachariahCrockett.com and Priceonomics.com as well for more information. We got a lot of fun articles to talk about and about the book itself. So we welcome Zach to the show. Zach, welcome to the show.
Nick, how are you, man?
All right, man. Yeah. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Cool. Well, tell everybody about Priceonomics.com.
Sure. Well, we started about 2.5 years ago. We're kind of just an economics and popular culture blog. And, you know, I came in as kind of like a writer of all things weird. So I write about eccentric stories and kind of strange myths and rumors that you never really know whether they're substantiated or not. So I try to clarify those kind of things.
And how do you go about doing that?
You know, just a lot of research and a lot of firsthand sources and kind of calling people that were forgotten in time, things that were never really clarified. There's always a couple people around who are kind of right in the middle of that who can tell you what was going on.
Well, give me a few examples of some of the things that that you've written about in the past, and some of the things that the website has talked about.
Yeah, sure. So I'll do a lot of like strange histories on things. Like I'll do you know, an extensive history of the roller coaster, where it came from, or you know, I did one on professional bowlers.
Right. We talked about that the last time you were on.
Exactly. Yeah. So kind of just exploring their world a little bit, and you know, I've done things on. I've interviewed people who make a living with building Lego structures.
People who make a living doing Legos.
That's right, man. They're actually out there, believe it or not.
Wow.
You know, their salaries aren't too great, but I'm you know, they're probably just big kids out there doing their thing. So.
Now, how do some of these stories get discovered? I mean, do you guys just like look around on the internet, or go back in time and look at some other stuff in history, and that's how you guys find your stories?
Yeah, they really come from all reaches. A lot of them come from my friends who are curious about things, and as word of mouth spreads about our blog, and as our traffic grows, we have a lot of our readers writing in curious about things. And sometimes it's just a matter of spending a ton of time sitting around on a computer on the internet, just going into the depths of, you know, the depths of the internet, kind of just getting lost in weird worlds.
Yeah. Well, that's a fun thing to do, man.
Yeah, yeah.
How many people are working on the website?
So it's just myself and one other writer, actually. And
wow.
Then our CEO, Rohan Dar. And then we have a few engineers on board just keeping things running as well.
Wow. All right. That's cool, man.
Yeah, it's a very small team. It's very close-knit, very San Francisco.
Cool. Now, the book is called Everything is, well, we can't say it on the air, but Everything is Bull Blank, The Greatest Scams on Earth Revealed. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that's been a really fun project. And basically what that is it's a collection of some of our most popular posts, and it also includes a lot of new stuff. And, you know, it's 20 chapters of just crazy, weird things and stories. You know, things like the fact that Chilean sea bass isn't actually a bass at all. It's, you know, some cruddy fish from, you know, from the deep sea that is the ugliest thing you've ever seen in your life. But they just marketed it as a Chilean sea bass, and they sell it for these exorbitant prices, kind of exposing the stupid things in the world.
Let's go back to this Chilean sea bass thing. What is it exactly then?
So it's actually an Arctic toothfish, and Nick, if you saw this thing, man, it's like the ugliest fish. It's the last thing you'd ever want to eat. It's just hideous.
Uh-huh.
It's actually a very cheap and common fish that marketers kind of just took and ran with. And, you know, if you go to a fancy restaurant, it sells for $40, $50, $60 a plate for the fish that is, very, very common and not really fancy at all. So it's all in the marketing with that one.
What are some of the other? Tell me about some of the other scams that are in the book.
Sure. Well, we did one about seal clubbers in Canada. I got on the phone and I interviewed a bunch of people who make a living kind of capturing seals up there. And, you know, you always hear that they club these seals over the head and drag them through the ice in these bloody battles. And there's actually quite a bit of truth in that. Kind of a sad twist on that story, but kind of just wrote all about the seal market and all the hatred toward it in the United States.
Is it a huge market?
It's a shrinking market. A lot of countries now ban the import of seal skins. You know, it's pretty hard for people to make a living up there in Canada if they're still doing this. It's kind of an outdated trade.
So the book is called Everything is BS, The Greatest Scams on Earth Revealed. Is it out now and everybody can get it?
It definitely is. You can find it on Amazon, and we also sell hard copies through there as well.
Okay.
And if you want to pay for it in Bitcoin, which is this weird digital currency, you can also do that through our website.
Oh, wait, yeah, explain how that works. I've heard about this. I've never used it, but explain how that works. That's not a scam. That's actually real, right, Zach?
That is actually a real scam.
Okay.
Yeah. So Bitcoin is a currency that started, I don't know too much about it, but I think it started 5, 6, maybe 7 years ago. And if you bought a couple of these little Bitcoins, they're basically a digital currency. Mm. If you purchased a few years ago, they were maybe $5 to $10 a coin. And now they're selling for about $450 a coin.
Wow.
People have become millionaires mining these coins. And, the process is pretty confusing. And the old writer at Priceonomics, Alex Mayasi, used to do, that was kind of his beat. He used to write a lot about Bitcoins and digital currencies. And it's really a fascinating thing.
All right. Well, we got some articles that you guys have written about on Priceonomics.com that I want to talk about. The first one I want to talk about is you wrote an extensive piece about Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk a little about that. Pink Floyd's album Dark Side of the Moon, which for a long time was like the number one selling album ever for a very long time, correct? Wasn't it like on the charts for years?
Oh, dude, it was on the charts. It was on the Billboard charts for 741 weeks.
That's insane.
It is absolutely nuts. And, this album is so prevalent. I the stat is like 1 in 14 people in the United States, 1 in 14 adults in the U.S. own this album.
Oh, my God. Is that 1 in 14? Well, I mean, I have it, so yeah.
I do, too. It's actually my favorite, and it's so popular that it's almost a cliche to say that Dark Side of the Moon is your favorite album
these
days. So, it's an amazing album. So it's this, concept album from 1973, exploring all these crazy themes. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are familiar with the album.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure, Zach, a lot of my listeners are familiar with the album because I have a lot of people who smoke weed and drink who listen to my show. So I'm assuming a lot of those people right now, at 2:30 in the morning are like, yeah, okay, I know Dark Side of the Moon. They're probably listening to it right now.
Yeah, it would be pretty disgraceful if you're out there listening and you don't know what Dark Side of the Moon is. It's time to tune out probably. As a huge fan of this album, I was always curious about this rumor that I heard that, if you start Dark Side of the Moon at the same time as The Wizard of Oz, the film The Wizard of Oz.
Right. You're supposed to start it when the lion roars.
Exactly. That's exactly correct.
Yeah.
Some people say the first roar and some people say the third, but it works both ways.
Right.
So I just wanted to dig into the origins of this myth a little bit and see if there's any truth behind it. And we found a lot of scenes that almost perfectly match up. So it might be interesting to hear about a few of these.
Well, yeah. Explain to people what the deal is. If you start Dark Side of the Moon and let's say you pop in the DVD of Wizard of Oz, and you start Dark Side of the Moon where the lion roars at the beginning of the logo, the MGM logo. There is a weird, like a really sort of start, because I've done it, and there's a really weird sort of startling coincidence that happen where the album, what's happening on the album seems to be completely synced up with what's happening in the movie.
That's exactly it, yeah. you know, all these lines and melodies seem to perfectly sync up with all these random weird moments in the film. Like for instance, the opening track, Breathe, on Dark Side of the Moon. Right as they sing the lyric, balanced on the biggest wave, Dorothy is balancing, kind of doing this tightrope-like maneuver on this along this pig pen. So it's the word balance comes in right when she does, right when she's balancing herself. And then, you know, another one is like during Time, when they say, no one told you when to run. Right as they say run, Dorothy runs to save Toto. So it's right at that transition.
Yeah.
And probably the craziest one is the heartbeat on the album is perfectly syncopated with when Dorothy puts her ear right against the Tin Man's chest. And of course, in the film, he doesn't have a heart.
Right.
Very strange coincidences. Now, you listen to it all the way through.
No, it's real. I mean, it's really weird. I mean, I've done it, and it is like, it's kind of just like, wow, this is insane. But now you write in the article that David Gilmour did address this issue.
Yeah. So in the wake of all these rumors, the band was just totally against the idea. David Gilmour's quote. David Gilmour said that, you know, it was the brainchild of some guy with way too much time on his hands. Which sounds like most stoners out there.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Nick Mason said it's absolute nonsense. And then he joked around and said it's supposed to go with the Sound of Music, not the Wizard of Oz. So I wonder how many people out there tried that one. And Alan Parsons, the producer, called it a complete load of eyewash.
Yeah.
So whatever that weird British lingo means.
Well, I mean, it's fun nonetheless, and the article is really fun, man.
Thanks, man.
Going back and checking out Dark Side of the Moon. I mean, for those people, I mean, the fact that it's how many weeks on the charts did it spend?
741 weeks.
741 weeks on the Billboard charts was Dark Side of the Moon. So, give that a shot if you want to pop in your DVD of Wizard of Oz and then throw on the your CD. If you still have those things, people don't even have those things anymore. So, all right, Zach, hang on. We got to take a break, all right, man?
Sure.
All right, cool. Hang on a second. We are with Zachariah Crockett. ZachariahCrockett.com is his website. Priceonomics is the website that he writes for. We got more to talk about here on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Here on a Wednesday morning, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You can also send your texts to that same number. We are on Twitter and at facebook.com/NickDShow. My guest is Zachariah Crockett. He's a writer for Priceonomics.com and the co-author of their latest book, Everything is BS, The Greatest Scams on Earth Revealed. You can check out Priceonomics.com. We have a link on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. And we welcome Zach back to the show. Zach, welcome back, man.
Hey,
all right. So, you know, growing up in the 70s, I saw the anti-littering ads on television constantly as I was growing up, which featured the Native American standing on the side of the road as someone drove by and threw a bunch of crap out of the side of the car, and he would be crying. And you actually wrote the true story of the crying Indian.
I did.
Yeah, tell us about that, because everybody, you know, people around who are around my age, it's an indelible it's an indelible image. It's iconic. We all remember that, the crying Indian on the side of the road. So tell everybody about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 26, and I wasn't even around when this ad first came out in 1971. And even I, you know, it's just a timeless ad, you know.
Yeah.
The trash, the canoe. You know, it zooms in on his face and there's a single tear coming down, just like a very poignant, touching ad. And, so turns out there's a twist to the story.
Mm-hmm.
He is 100% Italian. Yeah.
Oh man. How did you find this out? What?
So, you know, thanks to some savvy reporting from a journalist back in '96, the story never really got too much traction. But, you know, at the time, this guy, the guy in the video, the Indian, his name is Iron Eyes Cody.
Right.
Kind of his stage name. And for years in Hollywood, you know, from the 1930s to the 1980s, he made a career as kind of the face of Native Americans in Hollywood. So he starred along John Wayne and Steve McQueen, even Ronald Reagan, Gary Cooper. And he was in all these Indian films. He played, you know, he played Sitting Bull in Crazy Horse.
Right.
And he was just a quintessential Native American, and he was really an influence to a lot of people in that community. So in 1996, the journalist actually, tracked his story back to his hometown. So this guy's actually from Louisiana. His parents were Sicilian immigrants. His real name is Aspera Oscar De Coti, a very Italian name. And, you know, in his early youth, he left Texas, and just by chance, a producer was down there in Texas filming a Western film, and he got cast as a Native American child in that film. And, you know, it was an experience that kind of always stuck with him, and from that moment forward, he kind of devoted himself to the Native American culture. In 1924, he moved out to Hollywood, and from there, you know, the rest is history. He became Iron Eyes Cody.
Well, that's amazing. That's amazing, man. And it wasn't until 1996 that someone dug into this guy's history?
That's right, yeah. So, I mean, you know, Iron Eyes Cody was well into he's probably in his late 70s, early 80s. And, you know, after this story kind of broke locally, it didn't really do anything to him. He continued his act. He continued wearing his headdress every day and, you know, living the life of a Native American and championing their causes. And he was kind of an honorary member of their society. He actually accomplished a lot for them.
Yeah.
So even though he was telling a lie his entire career,
But he was doing good.
Exactly. He was doing good things.
For that community, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow.
So
that's a great story.
He was a noble guy, yeah.
It's a great story. Now, the other story that I wanted to mention before you get away here is that how did a McDonald's product cause more cocaine use? This is pretty crazy. And so how did that happen?
Yeah, so you know, another classic 70s story here, 70s nostalgia night here.
Yeah.
So in 1971, you know, President Nixon declared this war on drugs, and he said drugs were public enemy number one in the United States. And also in the 70s, you know, cocaine was at its peak use. 11% of American adults were using cocaine. The New York Times called it the champagne of drugs. It was just kind of ruling society as a drug. And at the time, you know, all these paraphernalia laws started coming in from the Senate. And basically, they were very vague. So under these laws, anything could be constituted as paraphernalia. You know, if a sandwich bag was too close to a couple nuggets of weed, suddenly that was paraphernalia, the sandwich bag, you know.
Yeah.
So in the midst of all this, this coffee spoon from McDonald's suddenly, you know, came into the middle of the debate. Because apparently this spoon at McDonald's looked exactly like, if you picture, you know, like Al Pacino's spoon from Scarface, his golden cocaine spoon.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably has many cocaine spoons in that film, but it's like this long spoon with a little scooper on the end. It holds exactly 100 milligrams, which is like a common amount for drug dealers to partition off. And, you know, it got like kind of this cult following with drug dealers. And so what happened is, in the late 70s, these drug activists started becoming aware of this, and they actually got in touch with the McDonald's CEO, negotiated with him, and McDonald's agreed to get rid of this spoon. They actually redesigned their spoon, and this thing kind of bit the dust. But even though it was gone, people continued using it. You know, I spoke with one DEA agent who recalls people measuring cocaine amounts in mixed spoons in Missouri. So if you wanted to buy some coke in Missouri or Detroit back in the early 90s, the slang for a certain amount of cocaine would actually be a mixed spoon.
A mixed spoon.
A mixed spoon in reference to the McDonald's spoon.
Right.
And this lasted all the way through the 90s. And, you know, in Scotland, there was a huge drug raid overseas, and they found hundreds of these spoons in drug dealers' homes. They'd been using these spoons to measure off coke. And, you know, it was kind of an inconspicuous little tool, It was a better thing to use than, say, a scale, because that would be more incriminating in court. So.
Wow. So now, does the McSpoon still exist, or is it gone?
The McSpoon is, you know, McDonald's obviously doesn't produce it anymore.
Yeah.
If you go on eBay, there is actually a black market for these spoons. You can get them for $4 to $5 each.
Are you kidding me? You guys, there's a black market for the McSpoon.
Yeah, people sell them in wholesale amounts. Like, you can get 20 McSpoons for, like, you know, $15. And these things sell like hotcakes. They sell like hotcakes. They're still really popular.
Hotcakes, by the way, which are also sold at McDonald's.
That's right, man. And it just boggles my mind. So yeah, there is a black market for these things.
Wow. Now, let me ask you something, Zach. How'd you come across this story? How does one find the story of the spoon from McDonald's that was used to measure and take cocaine?
Yeah, I actually have a friend in law school, and he was pouring through these old Senate hearings, these atrocious, like, 500-page documents that no one reads, no one in the right mind ever reads.
Right.
And he came across this argument in the courtroom over this McDonald's spoon. And he thought it was kind of funny, so he told me I should look into it. And the story, it was pretty shocking. So
yeah,
it was a fun path.
Great stuff, man. Great stuff. And you can find a lot more of that, like, at priceonomics.com. Priceonomics.com is the website. Everything is BS. The greatest scams on earth. Revealed is available everywhere as a book, and you can check it out at priceonomics.com, and we have a link on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. Zach, always a pleasure to talk to you, man. Always a lot of fun. So join us on the show again sometime soon, okay?
Yeah, of course. It was a blast. Thanks.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
Yeah, you too.
Okay, there you go. Zachariah Crockett, priceonomics.com. Lots of fun stuff, really unusual stories, very weird stuff. Tonight seemed to be a 70s edition, as he mentioned. But that's cool. All right. We'll have Zach on again sometime soon. All right. We'll take a quick break here. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN.